So the question is, does having a college degree guarantee success? And the answer is, welcome to the Ambition Show. Let's get into it. So what's good, everybody? And that is the question. You know, this is the question. This is the time of year going into, you know, spring and the summer, early fall, where a lot of people are finishing up their degree programs, or they're finishing up a semester in their degree program, and they're looking for the internship. They're looking for the the apprenticeship. They're looking for, you know, maybe the first job in that field that they are studying. And that's where we'll get to of how degrees are beneficial, right? But let's just flat out say it from the very top. Don't mind an argument. Don't mind, you know, someone to argue the other side. I would love to hear the other side, but a college degree doesn't guarantee success in any endeavor. Doesn't do it. Even in a field where you need a degree just to enter that field, the degree does not guarantee success, right? A degree is a tool. Just like a certification, just like an accreditation, just like a license, just like a letter of recommendation, it is a tool in your career. Is a tool in your career toolkit. It's the best way to put that, right? It's a tool in career toolkit, right? It's another asset in the arsenal. So if you're if you want to look at it from any way you want to shape it, if you have an inventory, if you have a toolkit, if you have a workstation where you have a bunch of utensils and pieces of equipment, right, to get you to an end goal, right, to build a product, to build a business, whatever it may be, your degree is one of those things that sits in there for your career, for your profession, but it doesn't guarantee stamp of approval for sure you're going to be successful, right? It's a confirmation of an education, and that's why it is a very powerful tool, because it says, hey, you started something and you finished it, and that's where I've always seen education, right? That's where I've always seen the benefit of a formal education, of a formal academic, you know, in an academic environment. That is where I've always seen that the degree being the most beneficial, is that it's specifically, it is a confirmation, it's a completion. It says, hey, I started this and I finished this. I committed to myself, and I committed to a program, and I committed to an investment in myself, but does not guarantee any form of you're going to be successful because you finish this. It does state your level of commitment to something. And I've always felt that's where hiring managers, where companies in general, this is where they always see the benefit of having somebody who's completed degree programs, who's spent a significant amount of time at other positions. Because it's the same way they look at people who have resumes, you know. And remember, this used to be big and frowned upon, and actually still kind of is frowned upon from what I've heard from hiring professionals. If you show like, oh, you have all this work experience, but it's like from 20 different jobs. Like you've literally had 20 jobs in 20 years. Was like a different job every year. And even if it's the experience all in the exact same career or exact same, you know, profession, and you've actually kept elevating your experience and your knowledge and your skills, it still looks like, wow, man, you can't just stay at a job. Like what's going on there? You know, even if it's just, I mean, everyone's situation is different, but it looks like, wow, you can't commit to something. And we all know that the level of commitment says a lot, right? And when we're looking at being entrepreneurs, because what we center around here, although if you're a CEO, you're going to hire people, right? So this is very important information as well. But from an entrepreneurial standpoint, does that degree have the same level of importance? Right? A degree for an entrepreneur as opposed to a degree in entrepreneurship. Two different things, right? Two completely different things. And really, that's what we're going to delve into today, because that's what triggered this episode. When someone in our great Core Spaces, if you're not on our Core Spaces, if you're not subscribing to the blog where we get a lot of the questions, and not only trigger episodes, but, you know, specifically, you know, that we address in an episode, you should definitely join. You know, the Ambition Show has a core space, the Ambition Show blog, you know, drop a question, drop a comment. I'm always answering questions on Quora, whether, you know, I answer the question, post on LinkedIn, Twitter, or somewhere else. But definitely jump in those Quora spaces, because I'm telling you, it's a great, great community building up over there. And one of the best parts about it is, like I said, it can be an entire episode or it could just be we address it in an episode. But this came from multiple questions over the past year. This came from multiple questions and just, you know, kind of decided to summarize it. But degrees in entrepreneurship, this is, like I said, this is really what triggered it. And I, as a person, first, you know, I go into my own personal, you know, my background and everything when it comes to education, but degrees in entrepreneurship, my opinion, have no problem calling it out. Once again, of course, this is a show, but it's, you know, I want to clarify it as my opinion. I believe that is quite possibly one of the worst degree concepts ever. One of the worst degree concepts, right? One of the worst forms to have a degree, or one of the worst programs to make an entire degree around. Now, if it's, and this is going to get into it specifically when we talk about different industries, but because degrees, when they generalize like that, not an entrepreneurship in a specific industry, in a specific field, but just entrepreneurship, it's just like I've often said, and we're seeing this more and more as people, they run out. Hey, if you have an endeavor that you want to invest in, if you have a business you want to start, go for it. I'm not going to be one of those people like, oh, you don't deserve this. You shouldn't say this. No, there's people out there who want to be gatekeepers and everything. That's the whole purpose. In my opinion, that's one of the best things about technology. It's one of the best things about these platforms. It's one of the best things about being able to create your own platform. We're getting rid of the gatekeepers who don't deserve to be gatekeepers, right? They just want to be able to hold on to something, have ownership and have their little exclusivity. No, it's not about that. You know, gatekeepers are annoying to many extents, right? A gatekeeper is just a nuisance. If you want it, you deserve it. If you're willing to work hard and get it, or if you're willing to work smart and go and achieve it, that's, you deserve it at that point, right? No one can tell you whether you deserve it or not. That's up to you if you deserve it or not. If you're willing to put the time in, you deserve it. I say all that because you'll have a lot of people who want to make degrees as forms of gatekeeping. And I've, once again, going back to this, not everyone's an entrepreneur, because entrepreneurship isn't a career. Entrepreneurship isn't a job. Entrepreneurship isn't a profession. It is none of these things. Entrepreneurship, being an entrepreneur, is a lifestyle. It's a mindset, right? I've given this example before. We're going to get really, you know, deep into the topics when we come back. But one of the best examples of this is if you look at private practice lawyer or even a doctor. Technically, they're an entrepreneur. But most people don't think of them that way. I have yet to hear one person call a doctor who has their private practice, which, now this is me, I haven't heard anyone say that's an entrepreneur, even though that is an entrepreneur. If you meet a dentist that has their own dental office and that's their own practice, they're technically an entrepreneur. They're a business owner by all definition of it. But you don't think of that. You know why? You think of their profession. They're a dentist. They're a doctor, a lawyer, an accountant. Because entrepreneurship is a form of a venture. Entrepreneurship is a lifestyle, just like being an employee. Being an employee is not necessarily a profession. Their profession is they work for someone else, that job that they do, but they are an employee, they're a full-time employee, a part-time employee, a contractor, a freelancer, an entrepreneur, a business owner, right? Which goes into why a degree in entrepreneurship is kind of questionable. Because the majority of things that you learn as an entrepreneur, you learn as an entrepreneur. It's hard to teach those things. It's hard to teach a full program on just strictly entrepreneurship. And let me tell you, just before we cut to commercial, let me tell you right now, I haven't gone through a full program of entrepreneurship, but I have purchased, just to see the different, just a few of the top, you know, textbooks or even audited one curriculum, one program from a university on their degree program for entrepreneurship. And I can tell you, yes, every class, it hit on the basics of business, accounting, finance, a lot of those things. And then, of course, more specific to running a business from the ground up, building a business from the ground up, from, you know, as they call it, from the ground roots and things like that. And don't get me wrong, it's some good material there. You can learn from anywhere. You can learn from anyone. So whether you choose to or not, whether you're willing to listen, whether you're willing to be receptive of the information and then how you process it. But you can learn from anywhere and anything at any time. You choose to turn off learning, truly, right? But with all that said, when it comes back down to it, a degree program, here's the investment piece, right? If I'm spending money, and more important to me, if I'm spending time that I'll never get back, is it better that I'm spending that money and time building the business and just working with a mentor, working with a business coach, working with business development centers, specifically business development from a standpoint of how to create a venture and how to create a business, not so much business development and sales, but learning business development and learning sales, right? At those programs, that time and money is better spent there, right? $30,000, $40,000, $50,000, $60,000 potentially in debt. That's the biggest one. Now you're $60,000 already in the hole. That $60,000 could have been what? That could have been the down payment for your first location. That could have been, you know, investment in getting an employee. That's a critical piece to a small business. Your first employees. Critical piece. It has nothing to do with this episode, and I hate to go off on a tangent and sidebar, but look up the first employees of some of the biggest, especially tech firms, right, where we're seeing that entrepreneurial spirit the most in the past, you know, the past 2 or 3 decades. Look at those first employees of Yahoo, Google, PayPal, eBay, Amazon. Look what they have gone on to create, because it's critical. Of course, Facebook, one of their founders, but also one of their technically the first employees. He actually was technically also first employee. One of their tools we use all the time in my agency and in so many other agencies, the project management tool Asana, right? And that came from employees needing tools at a job. But because they were such great employees, they received investment. They received support from Facebook. They received investment. They received support from investors, the initial investors of Facebook. So your first employees are critical. It's extremely critical. And that's where you, instead of spending money on a degree program that isn't necessarily the best investment, where you can receive all that almost for free. And we're going to get into all the other alternatives as opposed to a degree program or specifically a degree program in entrepreneurship. You could put that money towards that employee. You could put that money towards a location. You could put that money towards multiple assets to develop, to bring you more and more money, to bring more and more levels or higher levels, I should say, of investment from the initial stages. So we come back from commercial, we're going to go over those things. We're going to go over just kind of the growth of those types of programs. But then we're going to go into the alternatives, right, to those programs and really where those programs and their popularity grew. And of course, like I said, those alternatives and then some other forms if you're going out and getting those investments. Now, this isn't, once again, if you see the investment in an entrepreneur or sort of specifically as an entrepreneur, if you see the benefits of the investment of a degree in entrepreneurship, a college degree in entrepreneurship, chime off, get into a comment, you know, leave comments on this episode, or, you know, jump into the question that's on Quora, which is, of course, posted and connected to this episode. So we'll come back right after this commercial and we'll get into it. As you can see, I'm very, very, very passionate about this. And I'll even go into, like I said, my own background regarding education. All right, we'll get to it when we get back. All right, everybody. So let me start off because, like I said, very passionate about this because one, I am a big supporter and fan. I'm a fanatic, so I always use the term fan of education. I am. Okay, and I'll give my own examples, and then we go into the growth of these types of programs, degrees in entrepreneurship, but and then also, you know, the alternatives out there. So when I was a kid, like a lot of kids, I've heard this before and I'm actually hearing it more and more. Like a lot of kids, I don't know, did people think you were going to be an architect when you were a kid because you played with Legos? It's like that blew up. I don't know. I think there's a certain time period. I seriously think there's a certain time period, like between maybe like when I was from when I was born to age 10. So from 85 to 95, I think because of the growth of like Legos and other types of toys, for whatever reason, a lot of parents thought their kids were going to be architects. I could see a little bit more in my case because I love to draw and I loved Legos and I loved all that stuff. I love building cities. I love actually building cities and planning cities. And I mean, seriously, planning cities. I would literally draw out the map out of the cities. I didn't know. I didn't have blueprints. So I made my own blueprints. I literally took sheets of paper, took a blue color pencil, and I would color the paper blue, not construction paper. I colored the paper blue because I knew on the construction paper, certain pens and pencils would show up. That's how focused I was at. I'm talking like six or seven years old, right? And everyone said, oh, you're going to be an architect. You're going to be an architect. He's going to be an architect. I don't know when I actually found out what an architect actually did. And I looked at it and I was like, I don't want to do that. I was like, I don't want to do that. That was just something I was doing as a kid, right? And I got in my head, okay, I want to go to law school. And the reason why I wanted to go to law school, I know, once again, being a young person, right before high school, being a young person, just thinking lawyers make money, you know, and I want to get my family in a better situation. I want to take care of my family. They know the law. They know how to protect people. They help people. Not saying that lawyers don't do this, right? I don't, whatever personal feelings you have against lawyers, hey, let's leave that over there. We're not talking about that right now. But being real, that was my thing. I'm like, you know what? I want to help people. I want to know how to help people, whether it be criminal or, you know, a business and helping them in their business or something like that. And that's where more the business side of things started to come up. It's like, I could learn the law to help people start businesses, build businesses, and finally got some time to speak with lawyers. You know, of course, this didn't happen until I got into college, right? I was going to start off with business school and then go into law school. Met with lawyers. Nope, not for me. But I'm like, I still want to own a business. I still want to know how to run a business. I still want to know how to operate and start a business. So let me just focus on business school, right? Let me focus specifically in management. And not being too specific, you know, general management, right? And in those managerial classes, the elements of marketing kept popping up. And this is how businesses are making money. This is how businesses start. This is how they thrive. They know their market. They do target, you know, target market and research. They understand in a very new term that wasn't being used too often outside of, you know, certain environments, analytics. So I'm like, okay, this is more my area. I love to draw. I love to write, but I want to run businesses. And I was like, okay, publishing companies, media companies, all of them are companies. All of them need people who understand basics of finance, accounting, you know, operations management, supply chain, things like this. All of these are key elements. These are the pillars. These are the building elements of a business. So I need a degree. So the more and more I learned, I was like, yes, marketing is specifically for me. I know this is my love. This is my thing. And one of the first marketing professors I had, she clarified, she was like, you know, the funny thing is a lot of people that she knew in marketing, and she would have worked with some bigger companies at this point. She worked with JP Morgan. She worked with a couple of other major financial firms. And she went into marketing agencies specifically. She says a lot of people don't have an education in marketing. They have an education in a very specific field that they were able to bring over to marketing. Operations management, graphic design, psychology. And I was just dumbfounded by this, you know, being technical writers, you know, creative writers. I was just dumbfounded. I was like, they don't have, she said a lot of people that she has met do not have degrees in marketing. And one of the things about that actually was more appealing to me was the fact that she was clarifying that shows you how marketing encompasses so much, right? It's, don't get me wrong. You can have a very diverse background in almost any profession. You'll find this all over the place. But it's something about the area of marketing, because marketing merges two very important. It kind of brings those two worlds together, right? It brings that creative and that very technical, analytical thinker together, right? Because even from a graphic design perspective, technical skill and ability is priceless, but you also have to have creative vision, right? When you're creating a brand, when you're creating a logo, when you're developing and having conversations with clients, when I'm sitting down with clients and I'm talking about the things that they want in their website, I'm going over everything. Yeah, can we technically do this? But then also, technically, how do we make this appear and have that feel? And we all know it, especially now being, you know, people of the digital age, what it's like when you go to a website, you're like, I don't like the way this feels. I don't like the way this navigation. That's because the person didn't take the time to think about the user experience. That's not a technical, that's not just a technical thing. That's a creative thing, right? That's that left brain, right brain meeting up, which, you know, if you pay attention to the people who are really getting the most out of the world the way it is nowadays, the people who know when to either turn one side on, one side off, and, or they're just constantly melding the two at the same time because they're understanding it's an abstract world almost, right? The thought process, the creativity it takes to come up with an algorithm, can't really even put that in terms right now, right? So I'm like, that's my world. That's perfect for me. But a management degree will be a great investment for me because I can take this degree into almost any field. And that's what we're looking at when we're talking about a college degree, an investment. Because I know I'm about to spend $30,000, $40,000, $50,000. And I got to pay this money back because brother man didn't have it in his pocket. My parents sure as heck didn't. Well, my mom didn't have it, right? Like a lot of us, that's my parents. my parent, right? Who's working hard, got me through high school, paid for high school, worked hard to get me through high school. So I can't let her down on this one, right? That's our mindset. Let's be real. Let's be honest. This ain't no sugarcoating podcast and conversation. This is a conversation. This is real life too. Right? This is real life too. So we all know that a lot of us went to college and we're thinking we got to pay our parents back. And that's my point. It's an investment. So when you make that leap, like any other investment, like a home, like a car, which is not really an investment, not going there right now. And the first place I learned that was, of course, my finance class. But many, many years ago when I was 18 years old in college, talked about how a car is not a very good investment, and not an investment at all, really, if you think about it, in many ways. But it's an investment. It's that time. That was the investment I was thinking about then, and that's still the investment I think about today more than anything. It's first my time and then the money. And that investment that whoever your support network was, right? Grandparents, aunts, uncles, brothers, sisters, step-parents, doesn't matter. Your support system supported you and helped you get there. You want to pay them back. You want to not only make them proud, but you want to pay them back. Pay them back just by doing well, right? So when you get this piece of paper, how does that help you? Which gets us to where we are today. So I saw that as this degree is my investment in myself to help, to give me tools, skills, experience, whether it's like an internship or something like that, to get me to the next level, right? And it's funny how in the back of your brain, and people who maybe if you've been out of college for 10, 15, 20 years even, you might know this or you might think about this sometimes. In the back of your mind, you're like, where did I learn that from? You're like, oh, shoot, that was in this class. Actually, I think I remember learning that from that teacher. I just quoted one of my favorite professors. I just quoted her a couple of days ago. And shocked everybody I was in a conversation with. But I'm like, yeah, I remember learning that at 19 years old about critical thinking. Just getting there. But it's an investment, right? Which is where we see today. And now we're seeing, especially because of the boom, and the boom is really because of the acceptance of entrepreneurship, right? Entrepreneurship has become an acceptable term. There was at one point in time, and for you all out there, who've been entrepreneurs for years, or maybe in your 30s, you know, not 30s, maybe your 40s and 50s even, you may remember this. At one point in time, being an entrepreneur was actually a very negative thing to say. Let's just be real, 100%. Being an entrepreneur was kind of like, oh, that means you don't have a job. That means you don't have skills. No, seriously, there was at one point in time. And even there are people today, if you use the term entrepreneur, right, it has that, but what do you do? And that's why I go back to saying entrepreneurship isn't a profession. Because at that point, and you've given them every right to ask that question. Well, what do you do? I'm an entrepreneur. Yeah, but what do you do? That's not what you do. You entrepreneur. If someone asks you, what do you do? I'm an entrepreneur. So you entrepreneur, that's what you do? You don't study medicine. You don't practice medicine. You don't practice law. You don't build buildings. You don't sell buildings. You don't canvas buildings. You don't make sales calls. What do you do? So summarizing that, which is honestly where most entrepreneurs, for lack of a better term, fail when it comes to getting clients, when it comes to getting investors, when it comes to just in any kind of way building an audience, they can't articulate what they do, which makes it confusing. And anyone worth their salt in sales, marketing, promotions, advertising, they will tell you the worst thing you can do is confuse their audience. And if my audience is a potential client, a prospective client, if I'm confusing them what the hell I do, how the heck am I going to get them to spend some money? Sadly, this is where a lot of entrepreneurs fail. Now think about that from a degree standpoint. I have a degree in entrepreneurship. What does that tell me that you can do? Can you honestly make a business better than a person with a degree in management? Well, that's relative at that point, right? Because that's based on the individual. I know some people thought I was going to say, well, yeah, that to me, or no, you can't because I have a degree. No, that's relative. Because I can damn sure tell you, I know people with the exact same degree and one person is nowhere near as good as the other person. Because the degree doesn't tell me those things, right? Degree tells me you made a commitment to acquire a certain set of skills. Okay, Liam Neeson. Yes, I'm corny that way. I'm sorry. I have to say that. I will always quote movies. We know that, right? If you have a degree in entrepreneurship, what set of skills have you acquired, right? Or you've collected, have you accumulated to put together and to kind of put into that toolkit for yourself? But because of that boom of acceptance in entrepreneurship, we're now seeing a boom in degrees, specifically in entrepreneurship. Now, some degree programs, right? Harvard has one, Princeton has one. Now, some of these programs have been around for quite some time. So there's nothing new. They're just starting to advertise them more because they're more favorable, or I should say they're more, you know, accepted. And most importantly, they're more popular. But they are more accepted because people, at one point, if you told me you're going to go get a bachelor's degree in entrepreneurship and that degree program is going to cost you $70,000 to $80,000, anyone with a logical, you know, just from a logical standpoint, will look at you like, are you freaking kidding me? But even to this day, I would still wonder, because here's the counter to that, right? And I'll give you two points of references and then we'll go to commercial. But I would give you two points of references. Number one, fantastic website, fantastic program, or website, I shouldn't say program, but fantastic website with a number of programs, right? Coursera. Coursera has a great number of programs, in almost every field you can think of almost anything you can study online that I can think of that you can study online. And if you look at the skills that you could acquire from these different degree programs, you can start to formulate, okay, well, this is where I can be an entrepreneur in this area, this industry, this profession. But I have a degree or I have a certification in a specific area and a specific set of skills. Because going back to what I was saying, entrepreneurship isn't the profession. So a degree in computer science, a degree in mathematics, a degree in architecture, right? A degree once again, a law degree, of course, but you have to pass the bar, right, to practice law. A lot of these can be acquired on, you know, traditional campuses or a platform like a Coursera. I'm just using Coursera as an example because Coursera has a, I think, one of the largest libraries, if not the largest library of, or library catalog of university level programs from some of the top universities in the world and top companies in the world. To where acquiring the knowledge and the skills and adding that to a toolkit to use that and apply that towards any entrepreneurial venture is, to me, more beneficial and more a better investment than getting a degree in entrepreneurship. Because you could be that computer science entrepreneur, the architect entrepreneur, the former law student, maybe former lawyer even, entrepreneur, right? And the level of investment, the financial investment, is significantly lower, to where now not only has that time been cut short, or maybe even it might even be the same length, but the time investment and the financial investment, you now spend more time, or you now have more time and more finance, or potentially more finances to put towards the entrepreneurial venture itself. Right? And that goes back. I use that reference of when I was thinking of going to law school. I mean, the first reason why I said it was, notice the first thing out of my mouth was to make money. It's one of the worst things you can do. Honestly, yes, it is. It's one of the worst things you could do is to pursue something like a degree on strictly because of the fact that you're going to make, because you think you're going to make money from it. Remember, we started from top. I started from top specifically about the degree of a degree guaranteeing success. Many people gauge success of an education based on how much you make in your profession. Sadly, I know of a lot of people who went into law school with that same mindset. It's relative on a lot of different levels, right? It's a lot of layers to that. Going to the right law firm, getting the right internship at a law firm, becoming a partner at a law firm, making the amount, also the type of law you practice, not just study, but the type of law you practice. There are some lawyers who started in one field of study, one area of practice, and had to transition or did transition because they're like, I ain't making the money here. I got to go somewhere else. I'm not making the money in this city. I need to leave. I'm not making the money in this state. I need to leave. Well, also keep in mind, different states, different laws. You might have to pass you might have to sit for the bar exam again. You might have to take the LSAT again. You might have to go back to law school. Now, of course, I'm giving you the world of law, but this is just one key area because this is one of those areas that people go into to make money. It's the same thing for entrepreneurship, or everybody wants to go into real estate. When they don't, let me tell you, a lot of people, sadly, they go either, I want to flip houses or I want to be a landlord. One of those two. Even though there's tons of different areas in real estate. Those are the two that, because they'll sound the most sexy and the most attractive. I want to flip houses. I want to go, or I want to be a landlord. And or, right? I want to be a landlord. Property management is not, believe me, it's not built for everybody. You'll hear the term slum landlord because some people just don't have it in them to be a landlord. And they become a slum landlord. There are a lot of people who lost more than their shirts. They lost their shoes, their socks, their drawers. They lost everything. Trying to flip houses and they were not ready for that. When really they should have just been a real estate broker, which is a lot more straight to it. You know, I only say that just because it's a very well known pathway, right? But it can still be an entrepreneurial pathway, and there's nothing knocking that. There's a lot of people who are extremely successful brokers, extremely successful real estate agents. But that's just a few areas of real estate. You could be an inspector. Right. And I'm bringing these up because this is how we get into our mindset. Well, that's the sexy one. That's the most attractive one. That's the one I see the people making the most money. I met three lawyers and I can't thank them enough for sitting down, talking to me. Let me getting an idea of their day from corporate attorney, right? An attorney who had his private practice, and an attorney who had, you know, let's be honest, worked at a few different law firms, worked even at one point for the city of Chicago, and gave me really good perspective of being an attorney. And of course, then they give me perspectives from their, you know, from their background, from their area, from where they were. But two went to two of the best law schools in the state. One went to one of the best law schools in the world and came back home. He's like, it's kind of my mindset. I want to help the people that I grew up with. I want to help. And he's like, hey, you know what? I enjoy being a lawyer, but he's like, it's a rough day and this is everything that I have to go through. But if you don't want it, it's going to be harder to get to his level if you weren't willing to do things, you know, that he was willing to go through. And I'm like, I don't want to do that. And now keep in mind what I'm saying. I didn't go to law school for this. I had those few mentors and I have never looked back. I have not one day said, I regret not going to law school. The only time I've ever said anything about regretting when it comes to legal is I regret I didn't find that lawyer sooner. That's the one thing I remember saying. I regret I didn't meet you sooner when I needed a small business attorney and had some really good advice, really good conversations, and they become a really good associate. That's the only time I've ever said anything about regretting and being a lawyer or regarding the law, because I still don't, never regretted that. Haven't even looked back. Literally the first, 4 or 5 months of school, talking to these guys, meeting mentors, and I'm done with it. Now, take that to a degree in entrepreneurship, 15-minute conversation, 20-minute conversation, you know, having a mentorship, being a part of a mentorship program, and then studying what you really care about, what you really love, what you really enjoy, getting those skills, fortifying, or I should say enhancing your talents, because maybe you have a natural talent for it, but you want to get the most out of it. The best photographers, the best graphic designers, the best dancers, the best musicians, the best actors. That's what they do. They enhance that natural ability, that natural talent, like any other athlete. They enhance that natural ability and that natural talent with the skills, with the time in the court and the time in the gym and the time getting those reps in. And then you take the time to meet with business owners in that field. You take the time to meet with, you know, people who are, whether they're investors, angel investors, private equity, bank lenders who work with people, who work with companies in those fields, and you're understanding the ins and outs. It's going to be hard to do this when you're in college, right? It's going to be hard to do this when you get that degree, because you notice I've yet to say degrees aren't a good investment. It's the degree in entrepreneurship that we need to look at with a fine grain, or we need to look at with a heavy level of scrutiny, right? It's the degrees in entrepreneurship that we should be more concerned about, because this generalization is not giving you full insight to entrepreneurship on your level. Because it's a degree program, it's taking an academic approach to a lifestyle. That's like getting a degree on being a person of a specific culture. Yeah, you can take a degree program about a culture, but you don't know my culture. You haven't lived my life, right? You haven't walked the path in that person's shoes. And now you're kind of taking that opportunity a little bit away from yourself, because you're gonna spend the time looking at it from an academic level, an academic environment, as opposed to a practical day in, day out. Why would we talk about learning how to write the business plan? Yeah, we could do that. Let's write your business plan. How to interview, how to work with the right people, teaching you sales. I'll tell you a degree right off the bat, that'd be way better. A degree in sales. That would probably be the most beneficial degree to anybody who ever wanted to be an entrepreneur. A degree program in sales, because that's where the most people struggle when they're starting their business. The psychology of sales. How to master sales. How to work with people in sales. How to develop relationships, networking. yeah, this could be a part of your degree program. And honestly, when I brought that up, remember I brought up a few programs? These are classes in the program. But think about what I'm saying. These are classes in a program. This isn't the program. There are people who have been professional salespeople their entire lives, and they're still learning things that they could learn in just a 3-4 year degree program. But they didn't take one class in it. They've been doing it from trial and error from day one. So you're going to have one class and then you're going to tell me you know sales? No. Every single one of the people that I look at as the best salespeople, they've been doing it for years. Some have degrees, some don't. But you know what they didn't slack on time? And getting those reps in for sales. And getting those that time in those, whether it be emails, phone calls, you know, one-on-one conversations, business presentations. All of these things, yes, you can acquire. Yeah, you can. I'll be honest. You can acquire with some of the degree programs I noticed. But here's the funny part about that. The exact same classes in a management course. The exact same classes in a marketing course. The exact same classes in an advertising course. And I notice I'm getting more and more specific. So if you want to be an entrepreneur in advertising, but you go for the degree in entrepreneurship, not the degree in advertising. You want to be an entrepreneur in, let's say, construction. That's a big one. That's a great field. But you focus on a degree in entrepreneurship. See, when we look at investing in ourselves as entrepreneurs, and there is nothing wrong with this, you have to look at it from that very technical, analytical, specific business mindset. What is my return on the investment? If I'm giving you 60, 50, 40, doesn't matter the amount, 80,000, 100,000, 20,000, I don't care what the amount is. If I'm giving you this amount of money, what is my return on investment? Now, yeah, don't get me wrong. It's nice to have a degree from Harvard. It's great to have a degree from Princeton. It's fantastic to have a degree, you know, from Carnegie Mellon. I can start naming schools left and right. Right. And almost any university, you have a network, but of course we have, there's notoriety. There's brand recognition with certain schools. Well, with all schools, there's brand recognition. But with others, you know, there's that same level, like if you're buying a luxury item, right? It's that, hey, if you say you went to Harvard, we know you went, hey, this guy went to Harvard, this woman went to Harvard. That says something, right? But the majority of us can't bank on just that name. And in fact, a lot of people, not all, but a lot of people who've had crazy levels of success don't even have a degree at all. I am always going to champion education. I am always going to champion it. And I will always champion formal education, right? And going up to a graduate level, if it's necessary, based on what you want. And this is where we're going to get to. I come back from commercial. How to formulate based on what you want, the path you can take, or the path you, not necessarily the path you have to take, but the path you can take, give yourself a better chance to succeed. And it's not banking on just that degree. It's what you gain from the education you obtain and the other components that come into play. Let me come back. Okay, y'all. So we're back. And like I said, it's about the investment, right? And how to make that plan. So look at going to college as a business transaction, because it is a business transaction. If it wasn't a business transaction, it wouldn't be a contract. There wouldn't be money exchange. There wouldn't be, you know, agreements and terms and conditions. If it wasn't a business contract, it wouldn't have these types of things. Now, I hate to say it, but when I went to school, I had a lot of like students who didn't look at it like that. Right. I had a lot of classmates who didn't look at it like that. And it's a funny thing. A lot of them were going into business school, but they weren't looking at it as a contract. Right. Every time you sign your name on a piece of paper, you hand money over. There is a contract, whether it's clearly written in that signature or it's implied in one way or another. There is a contract because it's a transaction. I give you something for something in return. And the crazy part about it is when it comes to college, a lot of people think you pay exactly what you get for what you get, right? So in other words, if I pay $150,000, I'm going to get a way better education than the person who paid only, you know, $25,000. Yeah, and not exactly. Not in all cases. You're going to get a more expensive education. You know, better is relative. Better is subjective. To an extensive extent, those are subjective terms. Better, you know, more valuable. It's more expensive. Yes, it costs more. This is how you should look at that degree program. And if you're going to entrepreneurship, if you're going for specifically, if you're going for a degree in entrepreneurship, let me always clarify that. We're talking about that. If you go for a degree in entrepreneurship, okay, keep in mind, number one, this is right out the gate. Your investment is your time and your money. Your time first and your money. Your time you're never getting back. Money, if I spent $60,000 and I got $65,000 back, I only got $5,000, but I got a little something on top. If I spend $60,000, I've got $200 million. It's a great investment, right? Financially. But if I spend 3 years somewhere and that 3 years, I'm like, dang, I came out and I can't use any of this stuff that I got. Think about it. As opposed to I spent 3 years somewhere and every single month, maybe even every single day, I am using the skills. I'm using the talent. I'm using the network. Ooh, I'm useful to the network. Ooh, even better. Ooh, it got really good, right? The network I can use, or the network can use me, or vice, or you know, it's a great relationship, right? These skills that I've acquired, here's a big one. This is where I saw the initial benefit, and I keep seeing the benefit. The skills I acquired, I can then teach to make money. If I want to make money off of it, I can teach and I can make more money from it. The skills can be leveraged in exchange to build a network to generate other sources of income. Done that too. Worked with a couple of, I'll just give you this real quick. I worked with a couple small businesses or small business owners before they got their businesses started. Let me help you write your first business plan. Let me help you write your first marketing plan. The very first integrated marketing strategy I made like for someone else that I made for a client that I made for someone else was literally, hey, I want to get my name out there. This is what I can do. Now, I literally approached him like, hey, you know, I know you're, they were really low on money they could invest. They did everything kind of bootstrap. You know, they got their own LLC. They didn't go through a lawyer. They, you know, a lot of stuff. And they were really strapped on cash. But that's like, hey, if you can ensure that, one, you tell people I made your marketing strategy. Two, my name can be on this thing. Basically, like if you buy you get that free website and it has the banners and everything on it. And I get at least 3 referrals from you. That was our guarantee. You got to refer me and give me 3 referrals. If I get those 3 referrals, I'm not going to ask you for anything, like any money or anything. If I don't get the 3 referrals, then, and we made a contract. And you know what? I got more than 3 referrals. That was the best part about it. Because the person was really about their business. Because this person was really about their business. Now, of course, this is about knowing your network and building your network. And I admit people who I knew were about that. But that's the point of what am I getting out of that transaction in college? Am I meeting these types of people? Can these skills that I acquired be used to build more revenue streams? Not just the one that I'm going to school for, not necessarily the business I'm going, an addition. So not only am I going to teach potentially what I learned, but I can potentially get outside of that and go into a whole nother industry. The degree should be literally a key to open up a few doors, right? Just like your degree, if you're going to be an employee, don't knock people who are employees. If you notice, I never knocked that. I've been a full-time employee plenty of times in my life, been a contractor, freelancer. Everyone has a different path. I don't agree with people who say, oh, you should only be an entrepreneur. You should never work for another person. Okay, well, that's nice for you, but that's not reality. There's nothing wrong with that, because honestly, that's also how you acquire more skills. Because I can tell you some of the best leaders, actually, take that back. The best leaders I've ever met have been some kick-ass employees. I'll say that again proudly. The best leaders I've met have been kick-ass employees because they care about the brand. They know what it means, and they know to work hard for something bigger than themselves. It's hard to do that when you are the biggest thing if you are the business owner, right? Some of the worst, not to say all, but some of the worst leaders I've met were horrible employees or never employees at all. And it made sense because they weren't thinking about the other people, right? So I say that because the degree is to open up a door, typically, not all the time, open up a door is a key to get you a good job. Same thing here. If we're looking at it from an entrepreneurial standpoint, it should be a key to open up a great professional network. So yeah, if you're going to get a degree in entrepreneurship, I would hope you're going to a school that has produced a lot of entrepreneurs. The funny thing is because they maybe didn't have that degree program before, they didn't get that degree. Acknowledgement, right, of a completed schooling and completed studies that have helped you acquire a set of skills. You should get that. You should have skills, technical skills, not just interpersonal skills, but technical skills that you can say and lead right back to that degree. I don't care if it's PowerPoint. I don't care if it's knowing Adobe Illustrator. You need something. And then finally, this is, my own experience in education. Have a degree, project management. Finishing that program, I could sit for the project management certification. What other professional credentials that can help me in my entrepreneurial venture, that can help me in my career, can this degree program lead to? So just like if you have to have a certain amount of classes in accounting, right, to become a certified public accountant, or at least to sit for the exams. It's the exact same principle. You need a certain level or this degree will help you acquire or you have acquired other professional credentials. And this isn't credentials to make you look good in front of other people. Right? Because now this is an assumption. If I'm wrong, hey, I'm wrong. If you're going to have a business, if you're going to have a company, if you're going to be a CEO, not a freelancer, although I would say more so for the freelancers, it's invaluable. But if you're going to have these things, I don't know about you, but there's a reason why. If you've never noticed it, I've always seen this and I've seen the benefit in it. There's a reason why when those you go to those websites or you go to people's portfolios, they clearly have these badges that say, I've done this, 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 and this. I've acquired this certification, this accreditation, this license. That can speak for itself. Now, we all know about licenses, of course. That means literally you're licensed to do something where you're not licensed, bonded, insured, do something else. But a certification, that says something. That's a level of professionalism. It's the exact same thing as that degree, but it's even more specific to the industry. And that's why I say it's very important. Because if I walk up to somebody and I say, hey, we're certified, we're graphic designers, right? And we can develop and we build, and we're a digital marketing agency. We can build and develop an entire email marketing campaign from start to finish. And we're certified with MailChimp, which is one of the top, if not the best email marketing platforms that's out there consistently. And it's only getting better. They go to our website, they see that badge. They go to our portfolio, they go to our presentations, they see those badges. They go to MailChimp, we're listed right there. We are a registered Shopify partner agency. We took the time to learn how to work every app, how to customize every app, how to change almost every single theme that they come out with. We've developed our own theme, uploaded themes, We've had themes verified. That says something to somebody. Who? The people who are trusting you with their money, the customer. If you take that time to invest in yourself, so when people are like, oh, I don't care about a certification, I don't care about accreditation, don't care about the, yeah, that's nice. This is reality. If you don't want to be the person to, I talked about it earlier, working harder, not smarter. People who are working harder, not smarter. Talked about this earlier when it comes to sales, when it comes to things like that. People are just dialing and making phone calls and stuff like that. Those are the people who understand that's the way it worked at one point. And that's the only way it works for them. And they're not willing to constantly commit and elevate themselves. That's not you. If you're going to take the time to invest in a degree program, why can't you make sure, hey, I got to have these credentials, because when I submit this proposal, it has all of these icons listed of the stuff that we've done. We've committed to being the best. My proposal is going to speak for me. It's just like a resume. Doesn't that sound the same thing like a resume? Your portfolio, your website, it all speaks for you. These are all assets to your brand. Your brand is now a brand of a person or of a group that invests in being the best. These are the things you should see. These are the things you should be pulling from that degree program. I could give you three: digital marketing, or centered around digital marketing. It's not all encompassing, but they center around digital marketing, email marketing, search engine marketing, search engine optimization, social media analytics and social media marketing, that if you take those courses, you can then go get a certification, because they prep you for everything, any kind of question you have, and how to build out a campaign from top to bottom, how to track campaign performances, how to understand KPIs, how to utilize, whether it be Google Sheets, Microsoft Excel, or other platforms to do your analytics and to pull your data, and how to, you know, measure and, most importantly, present your data for clients. None of these are degree programs I'm talking about. These are all classes, and these are courses that have been developed by entrepreneurs in those fields. But I can give you that return on investment. If you're not getting that return on investment from that degree in entrepreneurship program, how is it helping you? These are the things you need to look for. This is the ROI you need to look for when you're looking at a degree in entrepreneurship. Real quick sidebar before we go into the book of this episode, for break commercial, go to book of episode. This topic came from a question in our Core Spaces. Go to Core Spaces, find the Ambition Show, and I am telling you right now, great place. Drop a comment. Ask a question, I will get to it. I answer the questions. Not every question turns into an episode, but I answer the questions there, okay? Go to it, utilize it, and not just me. There'll be other professionals who get into the Core Spaces, which is awesome. This is why I talk about mentorship, and I talk about, you know, people who've been there, done that. There are people who have been managers of some top artists around the world, musicians. There are people who've started their own tech firms, or CEOs, CFOs, CMOs, but people from every step and walk of life who've walked it, opening stores, starting e-commerce businesses, professional fighters. I mean, everything, literally everything. So get on Core Spaces, and specifically, look out for the Ambition Show. Drop a question there. Like I said, this came from a topic in an episode, which is freaking awesome. And like I said, you can tell it's very important to me. But even if, it's not something I have extensive background in, you know what I mean? I will help in finding the right people to answer those questions. And then maybe we can even have an episode with that person and get an interview with them. You know what I mean? And that way we can help everybody, because that's the whole purpose of the Ambition Show platform. So thank you for asking these questions, because like I said, this came from questions over the past year. A number of questions came up. And, came into this episode, and I noticed these degree programs are getting even bigger. So wanted to make sure I addressed it. So with that, we're going to go to commercial. We're going to come back. We're going to go over the book of the episode. And the thing about it is that the Book of Episodes, one book, but I really wanted to give a good breakdown of the authors of this book. You know, we go into a little bit about the authors. We focus a lot more on the book and what you can pull from the book, but also really want to get into the authors of this book. So when we come back, go to the book of the episode. Before that, though, remember, ROI. You're doing this for your business. I'm not saying treat your life as a business. But when you go into a business transaction, and that's what college is, that's what, when you go to college, that is a transaction. At least in this country, the good old US of A, it is definitely a business transaction. So, you know, it's, and it's the most important life transaction in some cases because of the simple fact you're taking years to do something. So whether you're not, so whether you're paying money or not, you're putting time in. And let me tell you something about my time, people. I would pray you treat it the same way. My time is super valuable. I'm taking the time to answer questions. I'm taking the time to invest in you. You should take the time to invest in yourself. My time, I'm never getting back. So when people ask me literally what's my time, or somebody's actually asked me that one time, go to this commercial, but somebody's literally asked me that. And I know it sounds, it's a horrible way to state this, but I felt it was a stupid question because they were asking me, they're about to hire me. They said, what's your time worth? I said, you don't have enough money, but I did say that. Yes, I am that person. I will say something like that. There's no amount of money worth my time, right? For this project, this is how much time I'm willing to devote to it. And that we can put a price tag on, but my time is priceless. Because I'm never getting this back. The time I'm taking to record this, the time you're taking to listen to this, you're never getting it back. Your time is priceless. That 3 years, that 4 years, it's priceless. Make it count. When we come back, we're going to the book of the episode. What's good, everybody? And we're back. So, yeah, went on a little rant there. Sorry about that. About time and everything, but time is so valuable and we all need to look at it like that. Because nothing's guaranteed, you know, and we get so, I shouldn't say so little time. We don't get a specified time, you know, that we know from beforehand, before we invest in something. Invest in something that you love to do. Invest in something that you love to do. Study stuff that you love to do. Study stuff that you really enjoy. And you can turn that into a business, right? And still, the degree in entrepreneurship won't necessarily be, you know, that if you want to figure out how to make history a business, I mean, I've kicked around another idea. I don't want to go on a tangent, but there's some really great, I mean, not only just YouTube channels, but there's great YouTube channels, blogs, both of which are businesses. Okay, that people have taken their personal passion and made into successful businesses. And usually those are the most successful businesses, something you're personally passionate about. And then you figure out a way to market it, monetize it, so on and so forth. And technology has put us there. And one of the best examples, I think that's a great segue to talk about this episode, but specifically these two, the authors of this book, is taking your personal passion and monetizing it. Taking your personal passion and making a very successful business from it. But get right to it. Damon John. Name, you probably know exactly right off the bat when I say that name. I don't understand if you don't know why. If you don't know the name, that's perfectly fine. We're going to get into it. But Damon John, can't get more of taking your personal passion and turning it into a billion-dollar business. And turning it into a billion-dollar venture. And I'm going to start off where a lot of people don't start off enough when they speak of Damon John. And number one, working with people, you're going to have your ups and downs, but working with people that you love, starting from a place of passion and building it into a business. Okay, a lot of people create great concepts. Everyone has a creative aspect about them. I don't care what you say. Now, some people, they really delve into it, and some people don't. Some people hold themselves back. Some people go hard with it. Everyone's different. But we all have that opportunity. And what Damon did from a very early age, he talks about it, how working not only with his friends, but even before that, customizing clothes, learning how to create clothes, learning from working with people in his family and the basics of just sewing. That's passion. That's a personal passion. I can't teach, no offense, I can't teach you personal passion at college. I don't care what you say. I can connect to it. Once again, when I was going to college and when I went to marketing, the first thing I thought was sales. When I went to marketing classes, the first thing I thought was sales. And the first thing I was correcting on, this is not sales. The two best marketing professors I had, one was an actual marketing class. The other was a class about literally starting your business, but specifically business leadership. And that person was a very successful marketer for some major, major firms. Or major, I should say major corporations, not agencies, but major corporations in their marketing departments. And went into great length about how marketing was not sales. You work closely with sales. You develop with sales. You have a good relationship with sales. But it is not sales. It's not strictly sales. Sales is its own skill set. Once again, if you need a degree in sales would be great. And I think when you read, and I went right into the author. Like I said, I'm going to talk a little bit more about the author, not the book. Or I should say, not just the book itself in general. The Power of Broke. So was this Damon John, I believe it was Damon John's first book. Okay, The Power of Broke. And really the thing that's covered the most in this book is that it's not about, oh, you have $1 million in the bank. It's not about even, hey, you went to Harvard, you know, university and got a degree in entrepreneurship. It's about, listen, this is where you are. This is not where you have to stay. This is where you are in life right now. This is not where you have to be for the rest of your life. I use this statement a lot because it helped me realize a lot just in general about myself, but the people I was working with. You live the life you settle for, or you live the life you work for. You know, a lot of people say, oh, that's just my luck. That's just the way I am. Or that's just the way. Then you're settling for that. And that's, if that's okay with you, you're comfortable with that. That's you. You live the life you settle for, or you live the life you work for. It's just that simple. Just that simple. And what Damon John, one of the things I pull from this book, and I think everyone who reads this book can pull from it, is that one of the toughest components of that is accepting where you are then, but it's being honest with yourself and understanding that's not where I have to finish. That's not where I have to stay. And there's a positive aspect here that I can find and I can utilize to get me to the next stage. And I can appreciate where I am. But no, hey, this is where I am right now. Doesn't mean I have to be here forever, but this is where I am right now. Let me take the smallest steps, just small steps even. Build out a formulated plan. I talked about that all the time about how that business plan should be a working business plan. That business plan should be, you know, step one, step two, step three. You don't have to say, okay, I got to get to A through Z in one day. The most successful business plan I ever saw from a founder that I worked with on their marketing was a person, they said they took them 3 years to build their first business plan. You know when they were doing it? In college. Because they're like, I'm focusing on reading books and formulating ideas and stuff like this. And, you know, reading case studies, why not do it then? But they didn't go to college for business. Okay, they didn't go to college for graphic design. They didn't go to college for accounting. They went to college, and I'm going to mispronounce this. So please don't be brutal when you correct me. Kinesiology. Okay, and that's why I said the most successful founder that had a full business plan, that I'm going to clarify that because that's really what would separate them from others. They had a full business plan when I met them. Like, it was done, start to finish, done. And they're like, I'm utilizing this. And it was like, but it's a long plan. It wasn't like a 1 year plan, a 2 year plan. This was a business plan. This was literally for the business to grow, to start and grow. And at one point, they literally had it in their plan. That's why, freaking awesome. They literally had it in their plan to seek a marketing professional. Specifically, they wanted a CMO when they got to a certain stage of their business. They wanted a CMO. But, you know, they weren't at that stage yet. They're like, but I do need marketing help. So they said, I'm going to get a marketing freelancer, consultant, agency. I'm looking for clients. I'm connecting. Part of my network. How do they part of my network? I wanted to be a personal trainer.
That's just that simple.
So I was meeting people in that area. I was like, hey, I got to pay for school. You know, I got to pay for all this stuff. I love fitness. Let me look into personal training. Let me look into, you know, being a fitness coach, specifically at this time period. But that person knew they didn't have to be at that point in their life as a student, you know, or as a struggling founder without some marketing assistance. They knew, hey, I want to get here. I want to get to another stage. I want to get to another level. And I'm going to need these components to get there. That's the, like I said, that's one of the things that I pulled the easiest, but also I think anyone, no matter what stage you are in your business, no matter what stage you are in life, the power of broke really gets into that, starting with passion, building off of that, and the keyword building off of that, stepping stones, building blocks, how to grow. And it gives you a person, and it, no, I shouldn't say it gives you a person, but the author is a person who did it. So it's not like me talking about it and you know, just theory. None of these books I talk about are theory. You notice that? It's always how that person applied that to their own life and how you can apply that as well. And their struggles and their, you know, their challenges and how they overcame them. And don't get me wrong, their setbacks. Because even if one of the books we gave an example of in the past, I'm not trying to step on this one, but one of the books we gave in the past, you know, we talked about literally the author talks about how he had a, if I'm not mistaken, it was a $250 million business that completely crumbled. And he had to start off again, basically from scratch. And all the people that he, you know, was trusting at one point, he couldn't turn to anymore. Because he had destroyed some relationships, but he had to learn from that and he had to build from that. It happens. Nothing's perfect. That's not a good, first off, that's not even a real story. Not even a good story. That's not a real story where everything's perfect. Right? This is Damon's first book. He's had, you know, multiples after this, and he's gone to some great ventures. He's going to some great, he has a great campaign going on right now, actually. But it's always good to really see where a person start off. And the funny thing is, I would say this is my, of a lot of the, not gurus, let me take it out. Of the successful CEOs, of the successful entrepreneurs, notice I separated those two. I think this is one of the best first books because it's such a, not only is this a real story that a lot of us have actually, well, from at least the first portion of, hey, if everybody out here listening has a $6 billion or $10 million, I'm sorry, $10 billion business, you like Damon John. I mean, hello, first off, give me a ring a ding ding. Let's talk. But, brother, need a dollar. No, I'm joking. But, you know, a lot of us have been at the starting point. And he talks about, you know, the self-doubt. He talks about how at one point, you know, you even have a so-called learning disorder, right? I mean, everyone learns in their own way anyway. How those things, and people would even try to use that against him, or he could even use that against himself to hold himself back. This is real. How does that connect with degree programs, you might ask? Very simply put, a lot of us think, oh, I get that degree, I'm going to be successful. I get that degree, I'm going to get that job. I get that degree, I'm going to have that network guaranteed. If you have horrible interpersonal skills, you're not going to have a network. College can't help you with that. But let's get it clear. If you have horrible interpersonal skills, you're not a good listener. Can't hold a good conversation just to relate with people. I'm not talking about being an extrovert. I'm just saying relating with people, having a conversation, good communication. You're not going to be able to build a network. You're not going to be able to have a good interview for a job. You're not going to be able to create a great presentation for a client because you're not going to be able to understand from their standpoint. Degree won't necessarily help you with that. The experience of college can't help you with that. So let's take away the degree specifically and let's put in college. You can get that at a community college. You can get that at a city college. You can get that at a certificate program. You can get this in high school. You can get this at your current job. It's not the degree. It's you, the individual. The life you work for, the life you want, you. Can't you tell I was a fitness coach at one time? Can't you tell? Drop down, give me 10 push-ups. No, I'm joking. If you have the space, you know, do give yourself 10 push-ups. No, that's why I said give yourself 10 push-ups. No, I'm joking. So, Power of Broke by Damon John. Fantastic book. I actually bought his second book first. I came back and bought this one because so many people had referenced this book, which I thought was interesting because his second title, he's really marketing, he was really pushing it. And everybody who was reading the second book, they kept saying, hey, but you gotta read The Power of Broke. So I read that. That's one of the few books, actually, that I've recommended. That's one of the few books that, just to call this out, I purchased twice. I had the audio version and I had the paperback. I don't have two versions of every book. This is one of the few. And the paperback was a gift. The audiobook was the first one I bought, but the paperback was a gift. Freaking awesome. just freaking awesome. And here's the other the thing I'll leave you with this one about this book, and then we'll get into the takeaways of this episode. Like I said, with the degree programs becoming more popular and everything, I should say specifically the degrees in entrepreneurship programs becoming more popular. The other thing that's been popular, but it's finally starting to weigh down a little bit, is this whole hustler mentality. Damon talks about being a hustler. Damon talks about that hustle and that grind. But pay attention to what you're reading. He's not saying that you should be hustling your whole life. You should work towards what you want your whole life. Yes, you should work for it. But he doesn't say, being a hustler day in, day out, grinding every single day is the only way to live. Be very cautious when people guide you to that. And that's one thing I like about the book, because he doesn't guide you to that. You know, I've always considered myself a hustler from a very positive standpoint. But I got rid of that mindset of grinding years ago when I really thought about what a grind means. When you grind anything down, what do? You turn into dust. You grind it down. Do you want to do that to your own life? Do you want to do that to yourself? Get some sleep. Spend time with your family. That's the reason why you want to be an entrepreneur. Well, I should say, that's the reason why a lot of people want to be entrepreneurs. And that's what they see the beauty in the entrepreneurial lifestyle, is that they can control their time, their schedule. I will call this out, though. You're actually going to spend more time building your business than you would as an employee. Right? But the difference is you have a full control, or you have more control over your schedule. I'm going to work these 4 days and the rest 3 days I'm off. But that means these 4 days I'm probably going to be working from sunup to sun. I'm not even sunup to sundown. I'm going to be working from literally 2 a.m. until, maybe 2 a.m. at the end of the 4 days, right? That just might happen. But that's the entrepreneurial lifestyle. So, and that can be to a point. It's the life you're willing. It's the life you make for yourself, right? Some of us don't have a problem doing that. When we're working on a project, that's like those actors, directors, and because that's a very different type of field. A lot of them, they're like, hey, I'm working 6 months straight, but then I'm off for 2 or 3, 4 or 5 months, or they've worked so hard in a condensed time period, maybe a year, just flat out work, filming, directing, editing. And if you ever edit even a 30-second video, editing takes time. Now they're saying, I've worked so hard in that time period, I've built it up to where I can take 2 years off. People wonder, why haven't I heard from this musician in 2 years? Or why haven't this artist dropped another album in 3 years? Or why hasn't that actor made a movie in 2 or 3 years? Because look what they were doing the other 10 years. Look what they were doing the other 2 years, 3 years. They were working so hard, they're like, I'm going to take some time off. That's why we want to control our time to work on the things we want to work on, but also to enjoy our lives with our families. So one of the final pieces to take away from the book is, yes, I would consider this a great manual for hustlers. I would. This is a hustler's manual. But at the same time, it's not about grinding until you're dead. It's not about grinding your life away. And even then, he addresses this in later books and later texts and interviews. He addresses this. He goes back and talks about that. Great evolution of an entrepreneur. Great evolution of a CEO. Definitely. The Power of Broke by Damon John. I can't recommend this book enough. I've recommended it almost to everybody I talk to. Recommended it to you guys. It was a great book for this topic. How to utilize it. Link to the book is in the description of this episode. And finally, takeaways for this episode. So every single episode, I owe you takeaways. Hold me to that. Hold me accountable. Go into Core Spaces. Go to our, the podcast page. Comment, Aaron, the link ain't there. Aaron, the takeaway you said, you know, for us isn't there. Whether it be a worksheet, whether it be a template, whether it be, you know, exclusive offer from a sponsor, whether it be, you know, something that we're offering, you know, from our services, doesn't matter. If I've said it, it's supposed to be there for you. It's got to be there for you. So hold me to fire. I have no problem with that. I'm human. I make mistakes. But most importantly, this is about us building a community and helping each other, because I want to help out as much as I was helped. I had great mentors. I brought up three of them. I brought up before, even though I didn't go into legal field, I consider those men mentors. That's why I'm here. That's my professional purpose. So to help others in their creative and entrepreneurial endeavors. So with that, made a worksheet of a career path worksheet for specifically for entrepreneurs. This is you. This is you to create your career path, not me telling you your career path. Hate that. I'm not going to tell you because everyone's different, right? So this is a worksheet for you, a great tool for you to give yourself some visuals. Create and print out like 4 or 5 of them if you want to. But and then, you know, make an amalgamation, make a connection between like, hey, this is a good step one from this worksheet. Maybe you have 3 worksheets. Step one on worksheet 1 is great. Step 2 on worksheet, 2 is great. Step 3 on worksheet 3 is great. Put them together for yourself and on worksheet 4, that kind of thing. I use something very similar when mapping out kind of a path for another client. And she absolutely adored it. She's like, this is a great tool. And I was like, you know what? This would be really good to use for everybody. Did it for myself. It helped me a great deal. And actually, that's when we started seeing more, positive results from the business is when I started doing this. And this is a business, right? So I'm thinking this is just from a career an entrepreneurial standpoint. You can even apply it to your business. So check it out. Download it. It's a free download. Let me know what you think. Let me know what you think. Post up your worksheet. Take a picture of it. Post that mug. Post with a coffee mug too. You know, I love coffee. So, I'm not knocking any cup of coffee. So post that thing. And then also a link to Score Mentors. I talked about mentors before. Now, I didn't go to Score for mentorship when I went to college. That was years later when I went to Score. Score is a great program, not-for-profit program. They're all over the U.S. Fantastic. You can do virtual meetings. You can do meetings not only online and video chat. You can do meetings over the phone. You can find a mentor in your local area. You can find a mentor outside of your area as well. It's great to connect that way as well. If no one's in your specific field. And this is why I go back to specific fields, because if you say, hey, I want to be an entrepreneur in this field, right? And I'm studying this field. You can connect with people in that area, specialists. And they were like, hey, I built a business in that area, or I've invested in business in that area, in that profession, in that industry. And they can give you specifics to apply to your business, right? If you just say, I'm an entrepreneur and I just want to start a business. Hey, I'm not knocking anybody with those questions. We get those questions a lot in Quora. I'm an entrepreneur, or this is my favorite. I think I see this one the most. What's a business that I could start while I make $1 million a year? Yep, I've had that question. And let me tell you right now, I can't give you a business that you can't make $1 million a year. I can't tell you a business that you can't. Keyword. It's the SEO side of me always going to come out that you can't make $1 million a year. That's up to you. When we use terms like SMART goals, we use terms like business plans. These aren't just whistling Dixie. This ain't just having fun. These are actual tools to help you. A question like that means you really have, okay, you have a lot that you have to formulate for yourself. And that's why working with a mentor can be extremely beneficial. Honestly, I think mentorship and business coaching is probably the, it could be the best return on investment. Could be. Depends on the relationship you have with the coach, depends on the relationship you have with the mentor, what you're getting out of it, of course. But I really could see that being probably the best, right, when you're starting out. Because like I said, if I went to law school, I'm telling you right now, I would be, I don't know if I would be as successful, or just say rich, not even necessarily successful. I can't say if I'd be rich or successful, right, lawyer, but I know I would be miserable. And I'm not knocking any lawyers. I'm not knocking any people who study law. What I'm saying is for me, I would be miserable. I can argue. I'll stand up for my opinion. I'll back it up with facts. I'll reference, okay? I'll reference actual, events and not the statutes, because it's not statutes, but I'll reference real events and I'll reference information. And I'll reference where I got the information from. That's everything lawyers do to a point, or specifically a litigator more so, right? I'll do that. And you know what I'll be talking about? I'll be talking about a Marvel movie. I will be talking about, I'll be talking about the history of some corporation. I'll talk about anime. I'll talk about something that I care about, right? At that point. Because I can tell you right now, if you go to a comic book shop, some of them are lawyers in there. They just waiting to be lawyers, but they don't want to practice the law. But they can fight tooth and nail why Superman could beat the Incredible Hulk. Totally different subject. But my point is, you can argue anything, right? You don't have to go to law school for that. And honestly, I would be miserable as a lawyer. Get a mentor. Work with a mentor. Mentors are awesome. SCORE Mentors, great program. And I can go into a whole nother tangent about how one mentor at SCORE helped me and a potential business partner save a lot of money. Two meetings, and we're like, yeah, this ain't going to be for us. This ain't going to be for us. And come to find out, that mentor that we talked to got out of the same business just a few years later. I'm going to make a post about that. That's a takeaway. I'm going to make a post about that situation. That was freaking awesome. I'm going to make a post about that situation. And I think you guys will benefit from it. So takeaways, because based on what you guys have asked for before, I think that's right. That's right up the alley for a lot of people in our core spaces. So takeaways. Entrepreneurial career path. I call it an entrepreneurial career path because you're developing what profession, what area could you get into in your entrepreneurial venture. Like I said, make multiples. Do one for every venture. What's wrong with that? And you determine which one you want to start off with. It gives you a really good gauge and a visual to work with. Also, a link to SCORE Mentors, free programs that they have. They have free programs there. Business, help you with your business plan. Help you with a mentorship, just one-on-one sessions. Save you money. And you know what? I'm adding this as a new takeaway. I will make a post specifically about when my good friend, but potential business partner in a venture, we were looking to get into a business together, and we met with a SCORE mentor, two meetings. We was like, this is not going to be the business for us. And sure enough, that mentor got out of the same business just a few years later, based on the assessments we were making, based on the analysis we're doing. And we did high level analysis, nothing. I mean, we weren't getting into no crazy dashboard to looking at a bunch of graphs and stuff. We were just having conversations, looking at the market, doing a little research, and we decided not to get into the business at all. He got out of the business completely. I'll make a post about that. So thank you so much for joining us for the Ambition Show. And next episode, I'm gonna change up the schedule a little bit. I'm gonna say change up the schedule because I was going on this area of building out a career. And, developing your business from start to finish, if you will. So like the career paths, just starting out with degrees, then going into the marketing, the sales, stuff like that. We're going to divert from that just in one episode, because next episode, we're going to talk about something that hot topic, big topic, not going anywhere. It just keeps getting bigger. I'm going to say a few names, ChatGPT. Midjourney. Writer. Zapier. IBM Watson. I'm saying these names because if you're in the know, you know what I'm talking about. I'm talking about AI. This came up. One specific question triggered this. Had a great conversation and wanted to make an episode about it because the fear that's there about AI is it's reality, it's understandable, but at the same time, it's also deafening people's ears to the possibilities there too. But don't get me wrong, there's a positive and negative of anything. And we're going to get into the positive negativity. Or I'm sorry, the positive and the negative aspects of AI and the use of it. But that's the next episode of The Ambition Show. Thank you so much. Don't go to college. Just playing. Just playing. This episode was about degrees in entrepreneurship and some better alternatives. Makes more sense for a better return on your investment. But you have to make the choice because you live the life you work for. You live the life you settle for, right? But you also live the life you work for. It's up to you which one you pick. With that, I've been your host, Aaron Muhammad. Thank you so much for joining us this episode. Hopefully see you around next episode. Join our core spaces. Drop a comment. Drop a question. If you have a good, if you have a topic for a potential episode, you know, shoot it my way as well. And like I said, if I'm not that expert, I will definitely look hard to find that expert. We'll have a great interview and bring you the information that you're looking for, because this is the platform, this is the community for you guys to achieve your entrepreneurial endeavors. With that, have a great day. Peace.